The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and my co-host,
Shelley Mack.
Are you sure you're my co-host?
I thought you usually introduced your co-host.
It is my co-host. It's Shelley Mack. And we're here with our producer, Christina. How are you, darling?
Good morning. Good afternoon, I guess, already.
Yeah, and this is a recorded program we have today. This isn't live. So you don't even have to cover the camera because I have a face for radio. Why are you laughing at that? It's so funny.
For the face for the radio.
Oh, poor Christina.
I know.
No, it's actually really cool. I really enjoy all the shows and the spices of the personalities.
Except I'm your favorite.
It is, for sure. 100%. I swear.
We're broadcasting on KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio in downtown Redding, California. And we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And today we have a special guest, Corky Harmon. Corky is running for District 3 Supervisor in Shasta County. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Well, no one's hurt me yet, so I'm okay.
Nice. I like your shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think he has like 12 or 20 of them.
Yeah. Shelly gets mad when I wear the same one every day. Tries to make me wash it. Anyway, we are here and we're going to talk a little bit about Supervisor. First of all, Corky, tell us something about yourself, a little bit about your background.
I was born here, 1960. I don't care if I tell everybody how old I am, kind of old. But I was born here in 1960 up on the hill. I'm a third generation. I'm working on the fifth generation with my grandkids, loving that part of it. My family actually was part owner of, my grandpa's part owner of the first garbage service in Redding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, way back when they put the sheriff, they put signs up on the side of the garbage trucks for Balma, for sheriff. But yeah, there's a little history there, but... Raised my kids here, been out in Palo Cedro for, I'm thinking about 33 years. My wife and I got married 36 years ago on the ranch out there. And fortunate enough to raise my kids all in that one house. I went to 14 different schools, and I'm very thankful that I was able to not move my kids that much. Love Palo Cedro. Love that side of the town, and that's our District 3, you know, of course, is the bottom end of that. Goes up through, everybody knows, up through Bernie, Fall River.
Right.
wouldn't mind living up that direction, but it's a little far out. But I have been in business here for, it kind of depends on which business you count, you know, how long, but I first started working at Mountain Gate Quarry in 1989, that's a family business. The Stemple Weeble House is the parent company. I'm the second generation for operating that business here, and we got White Rock Trucking. So I have a very well-rounded education as far as business goes. You know, dealing with all the regulators, pretty much deal with all of them. Sure. Dealing with the county, the city.
How's that been?
The state. It's a challenge, you know, but as a project manager, my background is managing projects. I kind of think this potential job as a supervisor gives me a good background.
What is it that you hope to accomplish? I mean, you know, what's the main thrust of wanting to run for supervisor? What is it that you really want to get in and make an impact on?
Well, it's kind of a personal thing, you know. It's just it's something that you know. I'm at a point in my life. I just said I'm born in 1960, so I'm to be 64 years old in the spring, and I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I need to give back. It's a tough thing we got going out there. You can look about any direction, and you can be concerned or worried about where we're going and what we're doing. I look at my grandkids in the face and wonder what I'm leaving for them, you know, or my son's running our business, and I feel like, what am I doing about it? You know, we all talk about it. We all worry about what's coming or what's happening or pick an issue, you know, direction.
But within the jurisdiction of a supervisor, because the supervisor has certain things they have jurisdiction over. You know, if you're running for state senate, that's one thing. Assembly is another thing. School board is another thing. What is it as far as the purview and the jurisdiction you'd have as a supervisor that you want to accomplish?
Well, the number one for me is security. It's law enforcement. Is
okay.
What are we doing about that? You know, if you don't have to watch much on the news to see that we got a lot of problems coming.
Okay.
You know, I spent a little time talking with our sheriff. A week or so ago, and he's gonna share with the county about what his experience was with his visit to the border, the California border.
Okay,
that was an eye opener, and I'm not gonna go there with this interview, Terry, because Sheriff Johnson's gonna bring that out, I think, today.
Yeah, it's not a problem. It's just the thing is that when you're running for a certain office, there's a jurisdiction you have.
Sure.
And the jurisdiction of immigration, frankly, is the federal government, as much as we'd want it to be the state. The jurisdiction of that in the border is the federal government. That's where the problem is. It's the state v. the federal government.
Okay. Here's an idea. Then let's talk about the jail, because that includes law enforcement and Johnson. And
right.
So how do you feel about building a new jail, you know, the one that is talking about wanting to do out off of Airport Road at the old dump? You know, versus expanding our jail that we have currently, which are just kind of what's your stance on a new jail?
Well,
because that's in your jurisdiction, would be.
Sure, and I'm not in there deep enough to know all the details about how you know, can we afford a new jail?
Right.
We just got our third floor opened up on the jail, the existing jail. I have a lot of questions. I probably have more questions than I do answers, but one of my questions is, what happened to the minimum security? You know, we used to have Crystal Creek.
That's condemned now.
Sure. But
yeah.
We're clogging up our jails with a lot of, inmates we're trying to, chase down whatever's going on out here in the community, and we hear about it all the time, that the same person gets arrested six times in 6 months. So we're wearing out the jail system, which means, they're not even holding them. You know, they're turning them loose about as fast as they pick them up. But we used to have minimum security, Crystal Creek. Why do we clog up that jail with, problems that aren't life threatening, or you know, that are not a threat to society or to your family or my family. Is there some things to explore there?
Well, there could be, and that's a good point. You know, but when you can walk into Rite Aid, I went to Rite Aid the other day. A guy walked in, grabbed a bottle of booze, said, "Hey, why don't you pay for this for me?" and then walked out. And there's nothing you can do. I mean, when you have laws that are, you can steal something for $995, and it's not a felony. I mean, again, the purview and the jurisdiction of most of the crime is Reading, and the jurisdiction of that is the City Council of Reading. And the RPD in Shasta County, we don't have any control over that. The sheriff really doesn't have control over what happens at RPD. He has no jurisdiction. So, I mean, building a jail where it is, where they want to build it, saves money, number one. Number two, it's right near the courthouse. And I think the floor wasn't open because he couldn't hire people. That's what the sheriff told me. He couldn't actually hire anybody. It wasn't the money. They hated the job. Used to be, back in the day, you talked about, you know, back in the old days, we used to have a deputy come in. Deputy would go ahead and work, you know, some shifts in the jail a couple of days a week, and then be a deputy. And then once he got established, then he would be a full-time deputy. What happened to that system? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we all don't like, but again, Shelley, you had some questions about some things as far as within the purview of District 3. So why don't you ask a few of those?
One thing that I've noticed that I would personally like to see more, I'm a fellow Palisadran, and I love it. And so something that I would like to see a little bit more is a little bit more interaction and a little bit more availability with a supervisor for District 3. Like town halls, you know, just being available to the community. I know that, you know, Palisadro is not the only town in District 3, but it's kind of one of the larger townships, and that's something that I've kind of been seeing a lack of, and I'd like to kind of know how you feel about availability to your constituents and, you know, town halls, just stuff, different things like that.
I would love to see a place where I could be a certain day of the week, you know, whether it's Bernie or Fall River or Palisadro, where you know, the local coffee shop, where people can, you know, swing in and you're there for a couple hours and a lot more involvement from the county supervisor. I know that's probably easier than said than done, you know, but I feel like I know a lot of people. I think that's what we need, is somebody that's from the people, that knows the people. If you don't know me, you probably know somebody that I know that you can find out, and you
exactly.
can learn what you need to know about who you're considering representing you for the next 4 years as a county supervisor. I'm a like we just discussed, you know, I'm a businessman here. I've probably been across the counter from just about every agency there is. When you're in the trucking business or in the mining quarry business or construction business, where you're dealing with whoever it is, fish and game, air quality, water quality, I deal with all of them. I understand, you know, that there's a lot of challenges out there, and a lot of things you got to keep up with, a lot of things you got to, and it's a struggle. And right now, you know, it's, I don't think anybody can say that we're doing really well, that we're not paying more money for whatever it is, fees, fines, taxes, whether it's property taxes. I had a discussion yesterday and this is probably something that could be front and center as far as an item to get behind it, and that's the cost that we're paying for insurance on your house. Palisadro, holy smokes, I know I've at least doubled.
Well, see, that's state jurisdiction. I mean, I would love it if the supervisors could wave a magic wand, But the problem is that's all state jurisdiction. So what the state's trying to do, the state of California, is to make it so that you and I and we, I know what you're saying, brother, because I had my insurance go up four times.
Right.
And then I finally found a decent company to take care of it. But that's, again, that's, I want to specifically zero in on what we can, what you can do for us as a supervisor with those things you have power over. None of us like the insurance, but there's nothing you can do about it unless you can get into the state. The state is now trying again to sell us fire insurance and home insurance and that stuff. They're trying to take it over like they're trying to take over medical. And oh, by the way, look what they just did with the illegals, right? Now they're going to pay for all the illegal medicine. But again, as a supervisor, you don't have jurisdiction over that. So if I was to vote for you, what is it you're going to do for me in District 3 if I was going to vote for you on something you actually have impact over and responsibility over, and you can help Shelley and I as constituents?
So Terry, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have all the answers, that I know what the problems are. Do I know all the answers about what I can do as a supervisor? Not really, but I am a project manager. I am willing to get in there and see what there is out there, you know, get involved with whoever the leaders are beyond the county supervisor, you know, whether it's, you know, our assemblyman or our senator or whoever. You take on a, in my world, you take on a project, you get a new project, you take it on and you gotta, well, actually in my world, you gotta put numbers to it and you gotta, start the project, complete the project, you gotta work with all the owners, the crews that you put together. It's about dealing with people and knowing how to, put groups together, It's a challenge. I don't know all the answers, but I'll find them. I'll get them.
Yeah, you know, and you know, with Health and Human Services, that's half of our budget, just Health and Human Services alone. And what do you think about the salaries of the people who work for the county? And I'm not talking about the rank and file. I'm not talking about the people who really do all the work. I'm just talking about that upper echelon. I think in Health and Human Services, we have like 100 directors. You know, and something like, I don't know, it's six figures minimum for all of them, along with benefits. And oh, by the way, we pay their benefits their whole life. I think that's where the money's being drained. Is there something that you've, as far as the budget goes and the money, because you've dealt with all these different departments, in the, what have you seen where you think you can make a change in looking at them, and how would you go about doing that?
Well, everybody knows there's a shortage. I don't care what area you're looking at, there's a shortage.
Yeah, true.
We're having a hard time filling positions at the county. And I'll just use my experience as a owning a trucking business. Right now, there's a shortage of drivers. You can't keep enough drivers. The only way you're going to have a half a chance of keeping up is you got to have the best working environment. I don't know that I don't think the environment's very good as far as, you know, people that are working at the county. Mm-hmm. We're watching people, walk away. They're frustrated. There's a lot of, dissension. Probably a good word.
Dissension in lower management and employee, or
from bottom to the top.
Okay, go ahead.
I think we all see it. Mm-hmm. I went to those supervisor meetings, and it's frustrating.
Yeah,
it's frustrating for everybody. And then we're trying to fill positions, and we can't fill positions. In my world as a driver, we got to have the best company to work for. We can't have a terrible work environment. People got to want to come to work. People got to want to do their job. They got to be, as leaders, we should be motivating people. We should be attracting people to these jobs. It's tough because you got to be the best paying. You got to be attracting the best, and you got to have good. In my world, you got to have good equipment. If you got terrible equipment to work with,
yeah, good point.
You're not attracting people. You're not retaining. You got to be able to retain. Our retention's terrible.
Yeah, it's been the rank and file. We're retaining. In fact, Kevin Cry just did something a couple of weeks ago on we actually have more employees. And we aren't decreasing. That's not factual. It looks like we are because we have people that are being replaced, maybe somewhere in the upper echelon with the Board of Supervisors, but the rank and file is not depleted. I mean, according to Kevin, what he said at the supervisor meeting when he did his report 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, I think that a lot of it is, I know there's dissension because if you're working for somebody and the person you work for won't give you the time of day and they're making four times the money you are as an employee like they have in Health and Human Services, that's a problem. So maybe I know that one of the other candidates had mentioned a forensic audit. Would you be willing to do forensic audits in all the departments?
So give me a good description of a forensics audit, because in my experience, my accountant does what's called what I think is a description of a forensics audit. We do that all the time.
Well, forensic audit, first of all, you can go to court with it. Second of all, a forensic audit is different than a regular audit, because the regular audit, all you're doing is seeing if the numbers add up. Mm-hmm. In a forensic audit, what you're doing is seeing where the numbers are coming from. Where are they coming from? What department's doing what? What position is going to happen here? How is this department utilizing what they have? And, oh, by the way, we talked about Health and Human Services, right? When you have a situation where you have Health and Human Services that is receiving grants from the state, and where's that money going? What's happening with that program? You know, those kinds of things. That's what a forensic audit would do, my friend.
I think a big thing on with a forensic audit, which, you know, audits with your business, but it is, to me, it's more of where is the money going?
Right.
Because, you know, there are departments that get the majority of our county budget, and it's like we need to have, I believe that the constituents need to know where our taxpayer dollars are getting spent. So that's kind of another branch of it, arm of it, to, you know, investigate where all the money's going.
Yeah, and it holds up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, so if you have something, I mean, we had a lot of people resign because of the fact they found out that some of them were doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. And when you have those people resign from the county, and we've had them in the past in the city do that, city of Reading anyway, when you have those things happen, then it's the kind of thing where you're looking at it and you're going, hey, you know, we got to do something about that. That's why I suggested a forensic audit, and that's why it's different. So along with that, we were talking about crime. You seem to be really passionate about crime. What would you do as far as the sheriff department? Because the jurisdiction you have with the sheriff department is controlling his money. So what else would you – what would you do to help – this terrible crime wave we have in the county. Go ahead.
Well, we have to. We just talked about it. We got to be able to pay. Right now, I've seen a lot of progress with the Reading Police Department.
Okay.
I think we're all seeing it. You know, I think it's pretty apparent. Okay. And I think part of the reason for that is they're stepping up their game to attract, retain, and hire more officers.
Okay.
They're being aggressive. I think we have a good sheriff, and I think he's very capable of doing the same exact thing. And I think he's made a lot of progress, but he's not going to he's got to have the support behind him as far as funding goes, and he's got to be able to attract and retain. I've seen that going on at the jail. It was just terrible.
Yeah, but that wasn't the issue, remember? The undersheriff came in and explained to the Board of Supervisors that the issue wasn't so much the money, and Sheriff Johnson said that himself. It wasn't so much the money, and the Board of Supervisors, Corky, agreed to give him the money. So he got the money. And so along with that, the issue was the work environment, that they didn't like the work environment. They didn't like the hours, didn't like the work environment. So what they did is they used to have assistants that would work at the county jail, answer the phones, do all the stuff, do all the paperwork, whereas a lot of the people who were watching the prisoners were doing that job. We used to have 8 of them. We only had 1, and now it's been increased to 2. So if we get those people to take the burden off of these people that are doing the handling of the prisoners in the jail, it takes the stress off them, because that's what the sheriff's department said. So I don't know where you're getting what you're getting, because that's what the guy said at the Board of Supervisors. It wasn't the money.
They were short-staffed.
Because people...
And the people that were working there were working an enormous amount of hours.
Right, because they didn't have the assistance. And so that was the thing that was brought up by Chris Kallstrom. And now they have the assistance to do that. That's what they're doing. And that's one of the reasons why they've been able to open up the jail.
Right. And
that's never the money.
But that's just now coming on, right?
No, it was about 6 months ago.
Right.
But we do have to take a break, because I get the yellow light back there. When we do something that's pre-recorded, she gives me the yellow light, and that means I've got to do a break. So, all right, so we're here with Corky Harmon, District 3, running for supervisor there in Shasta County, and my co-host Shelley Mack. The time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Christina. Welcome back, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Shelley Mack on Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E. Broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Always streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460. 1460.com, and we archive our programs forever and ever. We are here with Corky Harmon, who is running for Shasta County Supervisor District 3, and my co-host Shelley Mack has some questions.
So let's talk about the building department, resource management. Things that you like about it, things you'd like to change, things that you think would make better for the community, easier, less expensive, because we all know that's not the greatest situation.
So it'll be kind of a surface response.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get stuck in the ditch here, but I had a good friend of mine call me from Oregon. not too long ago, and he said that he wanted an engineer that I would refer him to, but he needed a California engineer because he was doing a project down here, not in this area, a different town. And I said, holy smokes, I said, why would you come down to California and try to take on a project that involved engineering? So he's a small developer. It was a small town. He was building, I think it was an RV and mini storage. And he said the town was amazing. He said they welcomed him with open arms. They walked him through everything. He said it was almost like they were working for him. Mm-hmm. I said, well, there's an idea. And I think that we got to get back to the bottom line. And the bottom line is all these people work for us, meaning you, the people, mm-hmm. we, the people, mm-hmm. they work for us. And we have great projects that people get so frustrated because it takes them months and months, maybe years to get through a project.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's controversial. It's following the general plan. It's creating jobs, creating tax base revenue. Why can't we have that kind of a response when somebody walks in the door where we're being promotional?
Yeah, welcome them with open arms.
Welcome them and make them feel like they're working for us to accomplish whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. That's probably the surface response, but it really is about doing good business, being a good steward. But it's also about being a good leader as far as a county supervisor where we're motivating. We're not, that's why I don't want to get in the ditch with it, because I think people are feeling beat up enough. We need to be able to, as leaders, we need to be able to motivate and come up with good ideas and feel like, oh, this is a good place to work for the county employees. There's a lot of great people. I know lots of people in the county. They're great people. They just need good leadership. As a county supervisor, I have a lot of experience taking on projects. I'm just going to treat this like another project. I've never not completed a project successfully. In my world, though, we got to bond it, sign on the line, and if we don't complete it on time and under budget, it comes out of our pocket. Yep. That's the background I have.
Yep, and that's a good direction towards that, because we have. It's very frustrating to where I know a lot of people that, you know, are like, because I'm in construction as well, and we have subs from, you know, different counties and stuff, and there's a lot of them that, you know, are in Tehama County, and they're like, nah, we don't want to come work in Shasta County. And which most of that's on us, being the general, but it's still, it's just, I'm not quite sure. I've heard, you know, Kellstrom, he ran on cleaning up the building department and making it easier, and he talked about, you know, friends, chicken coops and fences and woodsheds and stuff like that, but I think it's a lot larger mm-hmm. than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen that be addressed this year at all. I just listened to Kevin talk about it, and Kevin was going to, I think at the next meeting, he wanted some people in that industry to kind of come down and give their input and stuff. And so I think there's some changes that definitely can be done, and I think that, you know, I think what I'm getting from you is it almost needs to be ran more like a business, like a private business.
Thank you.
Not a government. It needs to be ran by people who know how to run business privately and personally.
We need that experience in there.
Mm-hmm.
When we do a project, if it's a large project, we actually have to have what they call a partnering. When we have a partnering facilitator, when you're doing what's called a partnering on a project, that means the foreman's got to get along. If he don't get along, he elevates it to the supervisor. If there's some issue going on there, he elevates it to the project manager. And at some point, you might end up with that partnering facilitator, where the idea is you sit down, you're you're both sides are trying to get a project done. Both sides are trying to complete it on time, under budget, successfully, and you're always going to run into issues. I don't care what project it is. You're going to run into issues where sometimes the problem is the owner, you know, the plans, the sometimes the issue or struggle is the contractor. And we work together. We sit down and say, hey, I have a little problem over here. You got a little problem over there. Let me help you with that. You help me with this. Let's fix it. Let's make this project go. Let's be responsive here. We all have the same goal.
Right.
Do it. Get it done. I think there's just a lot of animosity
mindset that you're talking about. That's what it has to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, where it's like, hey, we're partnering here. We're not here to fight. We're not here to slow down the project or make it more difficult to complete. We all want to get it done. We're all working for we the people, right? Whether it's the inspector or the contractor in your case, or putting together those crews, subs to complete the project. It's about coordination in it, but it's also about being a leader. We got to be a leader. We got to be motivational. We got to have people that want to work for us. We got to have people that want to follow us. That want to that see that we're not going to, you know. And we see it in law enforcement better than anywhere. We got their back. We got your back. You know, if you have a problem or there's an incident comes up, we're not going to just burn you. We're here to back you up. Back the blue. You know, we've all heard that. Same thing in our departments. We got to be able to back them up. We got to be able to be promotional to them and put your arms around them, so to speak, and help them do their job. I see. I'm frustrated with the lack of communication at the supervisor's level. I'm frustrated with the fact that some of them don't even talk to each other. Well, how can you get anything done? You got to have a board that can sit down and discuss things, whether you agree or disagree. Let's agree to disagree, but let's work through it. We still got to move forward, and we got to be able to accomplish whatever the goal is.
Well, one of the things that you brought up, great points, is the fact that, for example, you have three guys that want to do something and two that don't. And one that doesn't, it seems to be your opponent, Mary Rickert, who's one of your opponents, seems to be the person who's always odd man out on this stuff. So obviously it'd be great if we had four people who would, they're not always going to agree, but at least would work together to accomplish some of these things you're talking about. And I think Shelley made a great point when we talk about running it like a business, of course, 100%. And everybody in here is in business. I was in business for 40 years. Everybody's been in business in this room here. Shelley understands that. You understand it tremendously. How do we get the rest of the guys to look at that? Or is that something that maybe you would want to spearhead? Because we thought that was going to get done. We thought a lot of that was going to get done in these departments. And so would that be, that obviously would be something you'd really want to spearhead, is to make sure that everything's going along with the planning department, the permits, all this other stuff, and make sure these people not only are doing their job, but they're encouraged when they do the good job.
Well, and I hate to keep sounding like this, but in my world, I got to go talk to the supervisors,
sure,
the foremen, and I don't know if that happens. I don't know if they have or taken the time to do that. But what seems to be lacking, even in the big picture, is they can't talk. They're not talking. They pretty much, some of them hate each other. Some of them are so angry that I think some things are happening that are just in spite, because somebody doesn't like somebody. Well, we don't have to like somebody, and we don't have to be respectful, to be totally honest all the time. That's got to happen. We got to be transparent. We got to be honest, and we got to all be working towards the same goal, whether we're agreeing on a topic or a subject. Let's discuss it. They're not even discussing things. They're There's
do you have an example of that? Because it seems to me like each time I've been going to a meeting of late, especially, and I guess Kevin is now going to be the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
When I've been going to these meetings, the things that I've seen is that it seems to be like 3-2 all the time, sometimes 4-1, but 3-2. And it seems as if, you know, there is that animosity. I mean, all the supervisor meetings and supervisor groups I've seen, there's always been something like that. Been a lot of 3-2s in the past, a lot of 4-1s, a lot of, you know, the same thing with city councils, all those meetings. So I guess what I'm saying is that when, let's say you were to win, okay, you would change that dynamic from somebody who is usually on the bottom of a 4-1 or the bottom of a 3-2. Is there something that, is there a lot of things maybe that you, well, apparently you wouldn't be running if you agreed with that person. You wouldn't be running for office if you were in agreement with the person who's there. It wouldn't make any sense. So what are some of the things, again, that, you would try to get along. They would probably try to get along. So everybody's getting along. So where do we go from here?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and bash anybody because what I'm here for.
We're not doing that.
But I am saying there's three candidates that are running in District 3.
Right.
One of them's the incumbent.
Right.
She's been there. I don't have any problems with Mary Rickard.
Okay.
I haven't had to work with her firsthand. I don't know. I know Mary Rickard better than I do Wynn.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything negative about Wynn. I think he's a good guy. I don't know that he's got the experience that we need.
He worked for the county.
Sure, yeah, he worked in the auditing as a as an appraiser. Mm-hmm. But does he have experience running a project?
I don't know. But I guess my question is, I don't know if you get along with Mary Rickard, why are you running against her? I mean, if you get along with her and you think that she's doing a good job, why are you running? I mean, if there's some things you would change in District 3, or would you keep things the same? That's my question. And that's not bad-mouthing anybody. It's just that you're running against somebody. But if you agree with them, then why would you? And you get along with them, why would you run against them?
I would run against them because I think I'm a better candidate.
Okay.
I'm not jerking my chain. I don't think I'm anybody special.
Okay.
But I think we need somebody in there. And I know Mary's got experience with business, so I'm not taking that away from her. But I do have a lot of experience running businesses, running crews, running projects. And that's what this is. It's another project for me. Let's take this project. Let's put together a plan and let's implement it. And take it from, it's a 4-year project as far as the seat goes, and let's take this project and go with it. Let's work with it. Do I have all the answers? No, I don't have all the answers, but let's get them. Let's work together.
Okay.
I'm a person that can work with people.
Okay.
That leads me to then another question. How do you feel about term limits?
Oh, I think we got to have term limits. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what part of the problem is. I don't, right now, Shelley, I'm not doing this because I need a job.
Sure.
I got plenty to do. I'm doing this because I feel passionate about something needs to change, something needs to happen, and I can't look my grandbabies in the eyes and think about it and go sit on the couch or go fishing or go, I'll do some of that, but I can't sit back and complain about it all the time. Can't sit back and not do anything, and I feel like I can do something.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think all three of us are doing some of the things that we're doing. Is
sure,
because you can't bitch if you're not going to get involved.
Right.
And so, but I think with the term limits, I think that that's maybe something that
term limits is where all the problems come in. People get in there; they want their job, they got to keep their job, they got to, and they're getting influenced by special interests, and mm-hmm. That needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it all the way to the President of the United States right now. It's like anybody can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Been in there for 50 years. I don't want to be a supervisor for the for the next 4 terms, 3 terms,
oh, yeah.
Not even 2 terms. I want to do 4 years like a statesman's approach. I want to do 4 years. Go in there and see what I can do, give it all I got, and then be watching for the next candidate that needs to step in and do what I feel like I just did, and then I can go fishing.
The sheriff now is not 4 years anymore. They're 6 years, and the district attorney's not 4 years anymore. The governor moved it to 6 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, the term limit thing I think is good. I think probably your opponent doesn't agree with that. I think Wynn does, but I know that Mary Rickard is against term limits. She did say that.
I can't remember the vote. I feel like it was.
I think it was 3-2.
I thought it was 4-1.
It might have been 4-1, but I know that she voted. I know how she voted. Okay, but okay. And then three of them said, yeah, we want term limits. And, you know, District 2, maybe Tim Garmin did vote that way. But I know that, that there is a difference there in the candidates. And that he is against, Corky's against term limits, and his opponent is for term limits, and his other opponent agrees with him. There should be term limits. I think.
No, hold on a minute. Now, because I'm not for term limits.
Oh, you're not for term limits.
No, did I misspeak?
Yes.
Did I?
Yeah, because we both understood you were for term limits, and then.
Yeah, like you can't be a career politician.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what we're in agreement
there,
on.
There
that.
Is a, there,
yes.
Okay.
That's what we mean by term limits. Like you're limited to.
Well,
then eight
they're
years.
Putting that up on the ballot.
Yeah.
What,
8 years.
You know the ballot measure, right?
Right.
Okay, the ballot measure says that that a board of supervisor in the county of Shasta can only run for two limits and you're done. Two and done. That's what Shelley was asking you.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am for term limits.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because that's what we thought you meant.
Yes. Yeah.
And your opponent, one of your opponents, is not for term limits.
Well, obviously not, because she's running for a third term.
She's running for a third term.
So that's just the proof in the pudding right there.
Yeah, right
so
there.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Yes.
Of you and Mary.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
That's okay.
Gotcha.
No problem.
I misunderstood.
That's
well,
okay.
Terry and I can lead people astray
no,
sometimes.
We can't. Speak for yourself.
We could be hard to follow.
You used to be my favorite niece.
Oh, I still am.
You guys are related?
No.
I adopted her.
Gotcha. He's just a weirdo like that.
I'm a weirdo like that.
Another thing. So let's touch on Palisadro a little bit, because that's kind of something that I had asked when I interviewed him. And let's talk about the Palisadro plan and what they're trying to do out there and kind of how you feel, because I know you have probably friends on
both sides.
Both sides,
yeah,
and
I know
all that.
Like,
and so, but that's a decision
right?
that you have to make when you're in that chair.
It almost feels like everything else going on, right? Here's our little community, and the community's divided. And you're right. I couldn't even tell you who's all on this group and who's all on that group, but I can tell you that I want to see growth. I want to see controlled growth. I want to see the growth that the community wants. It needs to be, it's kind of like the wind farm. Why don't we just put that on the ballot? Why is everybody? I mean, we already decided. The county's decided no. The state came back in and said, "Hey," and now that's a big controversy and it's a big struggle going on. And it's like, let the people decide. They sort of did, because the supervisors
represent the people.
They represent the people and said no. And it's a big. It's a big fight, and I can't believe I'm the one that brought it up, but because it's such a controversial deal. But why not put it on the ballot?
I'm sure she thought about it.
Because it's big.
Yeah.
You know, but even the same kind of thing with the community, the people need to be able to decide what goes on in Palisadro. I don't want to see the big box stores come in there. I love all our little businesses that we have out there and the business owners. But I see a little, controversies going on there too. So there needs to be some.
What are the differences? I mean, just as.
I know,
you
know, right?
People are going to, because people are going to listen to this, you know, Shelley, and they're going to. They don't know what this is about, and to me, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I kind of sometimes, because I don't know that much about it, but it seems like we're thinking along the same lines. We both hear from people that we think are good people and people that are kind of saying the same thing. So tell me what the difference is.
So you have two sides, right, that both say, let's keep policy drill rule, right?
Right.
And you have one side who thinks that they're going to do that by creating a specific plan. And how that initially kind of came up was through some grants from the state. Okay.
There's where the problems start.
There's your problem, exactly. See, right. I'm not on that side. And my husband did the research and got the grant information from Paul and Adam, and in communication with the side that is for it, in that 15-page SB2 grant document, housing and low income and multifamily is mentioned 8 times in a 15-page grant. And you have these people that say, oh, no, well, there's no strings attached.
Is the grant still on the table?
So, nope, we've cleared the grant. That's gone.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Okay, so that's
okay,
a moot point.
So
go
then
ahead.
Basically, now the two sides could really be in agreement. We are in agreement that we do not want a big box store.
Okay.
Because we've been fighting to keep a Tractor Supply out. One of the folks on a different side of me owned the property and wanted to sell it to Tractor Supply. And then you had we all decided that we don't want like an AM PM because that was a proposed thing. And we just said, no, we don't want 24 hours because if our town shuts down at 10, 11 o'clock at night, the riffraff has to keep on going. They can't stop, you know, so just let's shut our town down. So we're in agreement on that. And it says that we're in agreement on, you know, no lower income, multifamily, you know, all the different words that they keep spinning.
So where's the rub?
Exactly. Well, the rub is that we've had a supervisor. I'm sorry to say this, but we had a supervisor flip. That's the problem. It could have been ended in February. So it's now continued. I mean, Palo Cedro has been on the agenda in the past year like 8 times, and I just feel that that's not fair to the rest of the community, that Palo Cedro is getting all this attention and we're not getting anywhere. And I don't really – it's hard because you'll have people spin it one way and some people that are – good talkers and good persuaders. And so it's been a frustrating thing where it should be, like you said, we've done surveys and the surveys have all leaned to the majority of not wanting it. I mean, Kevin's been fighting pretty hard on that. And the majority of the community for all the surveys that we've done, Shreds, they've all been no. But then you have a couple supervisors that say, well, you know, we need to look out for you. We're here from the government, and we need to look out for you.
Right. There's the problem.
So that's where we've lost the disconnect. It's the people have. It's gone awry. You know.
So look at it. This is probably the easiest way for me to understand it or portray it. So you have, if you even go around to Bella Vista Feed, there's a little business there.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Palo Cedro Feed. We got a business there. You go down to the other edge of District 3, which is Haas. You got a business. Those guys all compete.
Mm-hmm.
You put a Tractor Supply in the middle. What are you going to do to those business? That's our community right there. Those are people that are supporting our community that we all do 4-H with, that we all buy product from, you know, that we,
sure.
I mean, that's our community.
Yep.
And I'm saying Palo Cedro and a little bit outside of Palo Cedro, you know, but we all do, you and I, we all do business with all them. A Tractor Supply, yeah, I'd probably save a little money if I went to Tractor Supply, but a lot of times I don't go into town.
Right, right.
And I don't want to go to town. I want to do a business out there.
Well, I guess that's probably a good place to end it.
Yep.
Yeah, great place to end it. And Corky, we're going to have you on again. I'd like to have you on to where we could do something live, and then people can call in with their questions, just like we'll do that with the other candidates also. Anyway, thank you so much. Corky Harmon, running for Supervisor District 3, Shasta County. Is there a way they can get a hold of you?
Well, I have a website being made. It's CorkyHarmon.com. It's not actually completely running yet, but it's coming. It's the domain's there, and
well, the next time you come on, we'll
I know, I'm a little behind on
that's
that,
okay.
But it's coming.
That's okay. Next time you come on, we'll do that. So thank you, Corky.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done. and we'll do something.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Seen the bill.